Today's message is the start of a two-part series on tithes and tithing. This was taught at a Kenyan church up in Raleigh, and I want to make sure that you don't get turned off by the title about tithing. You're going to learn some things in this teaching that I don't think you have ever heard before. It's going to be put together in a way you've never heard put together before. If you have been taught, especially if you've recently come to the conclusion that tithing is not for the New Testament church, then it's important that you listen to this. You're going to hear some things about that you've never heard before, especially in part two of this message. So let me encourage you, get your Bibles out, study this with me, and listen to the authority of God's Word, and I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised about what you hear. So how many of you are from around Kiambu? Anybody? Okay. I know that area there. Know some Gikonyos there in Kiambu, as a matter of fact. So now, Wilson was talking about when he comes to your house, all he's looking for is a cup of tea. I expect some mokimo and some chapati. And I like mandazis, but I like mandazis in an American way. I like to take a little oki and pour it on the mandazi before you eat it. See? Oh. We love Kenya, been there many times, ministered in homes and in churches, and recognize several folks that have been in Charlotte and we've ministered with and under and that sort of thing. And we're so glad to be here today. When Father Lawrence asked me to come up here, almost immediately, the Lord put down in my heart a teaching that he wants me to share with you, and he wants me to share it with you out of compassion, okay? Because I think it's a teaching that's important for everyone, even the young people. Now, Father Lawrence is a great preacher, but I'm more of a teacher, okay? So you have to maybe get in a little bit different gear this morning. I want to teach you about something that I think a lot of folks are struggling with. At least in Charlotte, there are a lot of people that are struggling with finances. They're struggling with how to get by and how to make ends meet. And I want to share with you a concept out of the Word of God today that will help you. Now, before you misunderstand, I want you to understand that I'm not talking this morning or this afternoon about how to get rich, okay? I'm not going to talk to you about how you can't outgive God. That's not the subject. I'm not going to tell you this afternoon that if you'll give Father Lawrence and me your money, God will make you rich. You're not going to hear that. Okay? This is a very practical teaching out of God's Word and with the authority of God's Word about tithes and tithing, and I hope that I can clear up some misconceptions. Most of the time, when I was growing up, when I heard about tithing, it was in the context of giving. It was like a special kind of offering. That's kind of how I learned about it. But as I have studied the Word and read the Word, I realized we don't give tithes, we pay tithes. And I'll help you understand that and help you understand the difference between tithes and offerings. What are tithes? What were they in the Old Testament? What are they today? What are they not? The concept of tithing existed long before the Jewish sacramental system, the law, was in place. It's not just a special kind of offering. I'm going to define it out of God's Word, and you're going to see how tithes are holy. The tithe belongs to God. It's the tenth. Those that aren't giving the tenth to where God said give it, they're robbing God. And tithes always have and always will have one special purpose. And I'm going to help you understand that from the Word of God today. I want you to understand just from the very beginning, tithes are not offerings. If we said we're going to have a fellowship, Matter of fact, Wilson said, we want to have a fellowship at someone's house, and we want to have preaching, and we want to have worship. When he said that, you understood that when he said preaching and he said worship, he was talking about two different things, right? When we talk about tithes and offerings, we are talking about two different things. So let's define some terms. The tithe, the word tithe, the Hebrew word for tithe, simply means tenth. Now to us, it's a religious term, but to a Jewish person, if I said, how much of this dollar is this dime, they would say a tithe, because it's just a tenth. That's what it means. And in the Old Testament, the tithe was defined as one-tenth of the increase over a year. That means, for instance, if I started this year with 100 cows, let's say I'm a young Messiah and all I have is 100 cows, right? So I start with 100 cows this year, and during the year, I have 10 calves. My cows have 10 calves. So at the end of the year, then, the increase was how much? It was 10 cows. That was the increase. And so the tenth of that would be one cow. And oh, by the way, that one cow that's the tithe has to be the best one. It can't be the worst one. It's got to be the best one, right? Now, most of us, at least here, don't have cows and goats. So that's the other thing, Wilson. I'd probably like some Yoma Choma, too, when I have. But I wouldn't have to have it, okay? Most of us are wage earners, and so for us, every penny that we make is the increase. If I make $500 a week, gross pay, I may only take home $350 or $400 because of taxes and things like that. I need to tithe on the $500 because that $500 was increase. Now, those that own a business, for them, it's a little more complicated to calculate the tithe on their business because we're talking about the increase. So again, let's go back to the cows. If I start with 100 cows this year and I buy 5 cows and my cows have 5 calves, how much was my increase this year? It was really only 5, wasn't it? See? And so with a business, the business has to deduct its business expenses from its revenue in order to determine how much was the increase for the year so I would know how much to tithe. The tithe, the tenth, we've defined what it is. Turn to Leviticus 27. We're going to start here. Leviticus 27. The word says, matter of fact, you remember when we had the Old Testament reading this morning? It said that the tenth, or the tithe, was the inheritance for who? It said it was for the Levites, right? Now, who were the Levites in this time, in the Old Testament time, who were they? They were the clergy, right? They were the religious leaders of the time. They were the pastors of the day. That's who the Levites were. And God says, I want you to make sure that the tithe goes to the Levites. We'll read a scripture about that in a minute. In Leviticus 27:30, thus all the tithe or the tenth of the land, all of the seed of the land, and of the, all the tithe of the land, the seed, the fruit, it is God's and it is holy to the Lord. It's not just some bit of money. It's not just a tenth of your money. It already belongs to God. Now, offerings, like I said, offerings are different from tithes. They are the gifts that we make to the church or that we make to ministries, and they are above and beyond tithes. They are actually, offerings are completely unrelated to tithes. Offerings in the Old Testament were used for things like what? Building the temple, right? They would take up a special collection out of that. Matter of fact, if you look at Exodus 35, we're not going to read all of this today, but Exodus 35, starting in verse 21, for instance, it says, and everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of meeting, for all the service, for the holy garments, And it goes on to talk about how some people brought goods, some people brought money, they brought silver, they brought gold, some people brought their talent, their ability to work or to do fine arts and craftsmanship of some kind. But notice that it says this is people whose heart stirred them. The tithe isn't about whether or not your heart stirs you. 10% of the increase belongs to God, period. Your heart doesn't have to stir you at all. You don't have to think, of, well, God, I wonder how much I should give you in tithe this month. It's an easy calculation. But for offerings, that's different. For offerings, we need to seek God. We need to know how our heart is being moved so we'll know how much to give. Sometimes we give offerings, and you can see examples of this in the Word, but when Haiti had the earthquake, there were lots of people that gave offerings to help with the Christians, the folks in Haiti. When Katrina hit New Orleans, we did the same thing. Paul talks about, let's raise an offering to help the folks who are having a famine in Jerusalem at the time. You might also raise offerings for itinerant preachers, for prophets that come through, or evangelists that come through. That's what offerings are for, okay? Matter of fact, let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. I want to make sure you're getting this out of the Word today, that you're not just hearing my words, but that you're hearing God's Word and what it says about the difference between tithes and offerings, and especially what tithes are. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul here, writing to the Corinthians, is one of the last pieces of business. He says, 16, starting in verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the fifth day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save, as he may prosper, that no collections will be made when I come." And when I come, then I'm going to take the offering together, put it together with some letters, and we're going to say, this is talking about offerings, not talking about tithes. He's talking about making sure that we can give above and beyond that. The offering is part of the law of sowing and reaping, or the law of giving and receiving. We'll talk about that in a minute. So now turn back to Numbers 18. Numbers 18 and verse 21. And let's talk again about where the tithe goes. 18 and 21. The Levites and the time that this was written were about 4% of the population, and their only support, their only inheritance, was from the tithe. If they didn't get the tithe, they went hungry and died. God said, "And to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel." Remember, we read that the tithe was holy and the tithe belonged to God. Then what does God say he's going to do with it? "I am going to give it to the Levites." We don't give tithes, we pay tithes, because as we finish the verse, it says, they get this in return for their service, which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. Or in the case of a Levite that was pastoring a small synagogue out in the countryside, that tithe from that area went to that Levite. It was payment. It was God setting his wages for how much wages he gets for being a pastor or being a priest in this time. It doesn't go to the church. It doesn't go to a corporation. It goes to the pastor. Keep your finger in Numbers 18, okay? And let's go real quick to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 3. This is a long reading. Let me see if I can summarize it for you. "My defense for those who examine me is this. Don't I have a right to eat and drink too? Don't I have a right to bring along with me a believing wife like some of the other apostles, like Peter, for instance, like what he does? Or is it just me and Barnabas that have to work for a living, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat the fruit of it? Who tends a flock and doesn't use the milk from that flock? I'm not speaking of these things about human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say this? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle the ox.' while he is threshing. God is not concerned with oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake, us pastors, it is written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher should thresh in hope and share the crops. If we have just sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap the material things from you? What Paul was saying is, nothing has changed from the Old Testament times. If I were your pastor 1,000 years before this, and I spoke into your life spiritual things, God would expect you to take a tenth of your increase and give it to me, the pastor. Now, as your spiritual father, shouldn't I be able to do that now? You see, that's what Paul is in. Paul's not talking about offerings here. He's talking about wages. He's talking about the tithe. Now, let's go back to Numbers 18, and we'll go to verses 26. And I want to show you kind of an interesting principle. Moreover, you shall speak to the Levites. Remember, he just said, he's speaking to everybody else. Now, you give the Levites 10%. And then he says, okay, now tell the Levites, when you take from the sons of Israel the tithe which I have given you for them, for their inheritance, then you shall present an offering from it and to the Lord, and you shall tithe a tithe of the tithe. So they're expected to give offerings from the tithe they receive. They're also expected to pay tithe on what they receive. Where did the tithe go? It says in verse 28, I think it is, so you shall also present an offering to the Lord from your tithes, which you've received from the sons of Israel, and from it you shall give the Lord's offering or tithe to Aaron the priest. Now, this is exactly the principle that's used in the Episcopal Church. 10% of the tithe that comes into the Episcopal Church goes to the bishop. This is how the bishop is supported. That's the whole idea of this. We're talking about God's economy here. We're not talking about giving and receiving. We're not talking about offerings. We're talking about how does God expect to support those who work in his kingdom, especially those who work as pastors. Now, when I first understood this, I got to thinking about this. Let's see. 4% of the people were Levites. So that means there was about one Levite for every 25 families. And so if 25 families are giving a tenth to the Levite, to me, the pastor, woohoo, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be richer than the rest of them. Now, this is pretty cool. I like this. And then I started reading some more about what the Levite was supposed to do with the tithe that he received. And I began to read some of the Jewish writings and what the Jews expected their priests to do with that tithe money. And as it turns out, the pastor, the Levite, was supposed to take about a third of that money and use it to help people in his community who were destitute. Now, they usually talk about that in terms of widows and orphans, because, you know, in those days, a kid couldn't go out and get a job. And as a matter of fact, a woman couldn't go out. You couldn't just say, well, I think I want to be a secretary somewhere, or I want to be a customer service rep. You know, I mean, if you were a woman and you didn't have a man to support you, you were just out of luck. You might not live. And so part of the job of the church, the pastor, the priest, was out of that 10% to use about a third of that to care for those who are destitute. He was also supposed to use about a third of that money for what we would call parties or fellowships or feasts or festivals or ordination services or commissioning or things like that. That was supposed to come out of part of the tithe. Well, that left about a third of that tithe for the priest himself. Now, I got an aerospace engineering degree. So that makes me a rocket scientist, okay? And I happen to have a minor in math as well. So I can do that formula. And if you do the equation for this, did you know that it works out to where if a Levite is pastoring 25 families, which is that's the proportion for the population, and everybody in his church is giving him 10%, And he's using it the way he's supposed to. He's giving a third to the destitute. He's giving a third to taking care of the church and the expenses of the church. Not building a church, that's offerings. But he's using it for the operations of the church. The third that's left over for him, do you know what average income he has in a year? It's exactly that of his parish. Yeah, it's the average of the parish. So if you're a pastor in Quebera, your income is going to be very low. And if you're a pastor in Westlands, then your income is going to be very high. You see, isn't that just like God? He wants to make sure that his pastor has the same income as the average of his people. Now, there are several reasons for that. One, that means the pastor isn't over the people. Have you ever seen a situation where the pastor is living in a $1 million home while the rest of his folks are like most of us? We just, you know, kind of get by on our average salary. I can tell you, that ain't God's plan. That wasn't what he set forth here. Matter of fact, you could look at it this way. Let's go to Kenya for a minute, okay? If I'm pastoring a church in Kenya and nobody in my church has a car, but I have a car as the pastor, there's something wrong. There's something out of balance. By the same token, if I'm pastoring a church and everybody in my church has a car, but I have to ride a bicycle or I have to take a Mutatu in order to get around, something's wrong. You see, all of a sudden you begin to understand tithe isn't about offering or giving. Tithe is about God's way of paying those who are doing his service and pastoring it. And if it's done right, then the pastor lives at about the same place as its people live. So tithing is not part of giving and receiving. You know, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give to your bosom. Because the measure that you use to measure out or to be generous to others, that's the same measure that God will use in blessing you. And he'll bless you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's offerings. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the tithe. Because let's get to the place about, so what happens if somebody doesn't pay their tithe? Now remember, the tithe belongs to God, and then God wants to pay his pastors with it. The tithe is holy. The tithe isn't an offering. It's a tenth of the increase. It's the only means of support for the church pastor, and it's supposed to be used to take care of the destitute and to pay the expenses of the church. Malachi 3, this is the last book in the Old Testament, and it talks about what was going on in Israel about 400 and what is it, 90 years, about 500 years before Jesus came on the scene. Folks had decided they weren't going to tithe. They were going to hang on to that money. And this is what God told the prophet to say about it. In Malachi 3, we're going to start in verse 8. Will a man rob God? And the word there for rob is actually to defraud. Remember this fellow named Madoff that started a Ponzi scheme and took in literally billions of people's money? And then he spent it on himself. He told them he was investing it. But he wasn't. He defrauded those people. He got sent to jail for it. Okay. Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you're robbing me. But you'll say, well, how in the world have we robbed you? I tell you, it's in the tithes and in offerings. In other words, they were not only not giving tithes, they weren't giving any offerings either. And then he says, because of that, you are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the entire tithe into the storehouse. That means to the local synagogues and the temples, the local pastors, Levites, so that there may be food in my house. And then he says an interesting thing. He says, test me with this now.
if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I'll rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor the your vine or the field, and they won't cast out your grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land. What God here is saying, remember, in Leviticus 27:30, we said that the tithe is holy because it belongs to God. So that first 10% of the increase doesn't belong to you. You have no right to use it. Now, we have corporate executives going to jail on a regular basis because they're taking money out of their companies. I could do that with my company, probably. I could probably pull some money out and tell the IRS I didn't do that. I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid I might go to jail if I did that. But you know, the IRS may or may not find out about what I'm doing. The government may or may not find out that I'm cheating my company. But guess what? If I start robbing the king of the universe, the creator of everything, I wonder if he's going to pick up on that. You think he might catch on? I think he might. And what happens is that when I withhold God's tenth, then what I'm doing is I'm taking myself out from under God's blessing. I'm saying, God, I'm going to not give you a chance to bless me or protect me. After reading this scripture here in Malachi, so I have a question for you. How do you expect to ever get ahead financially if you don't give God the tenth or the tithe? In Malachi 3:10, he says, try me. Just test me on this and see if this will work. Let me read it to you a little bit different way. He says, if you'll do what I told you to do, and you'll pay your Levite the wage, the tenth that I told you you were supposed to pay him, if you will do that, then what you'll discover is that the normal condition of blessing for Christians or for people that serve God, people who pay their tithes, the normal level of blessing is a blessing that you can't contain. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that you can't contain.
Well, we're going to interrupt this message here and tune in next week to get the rest of this message. God's got a blessing for you.